American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the internet for Monday, December 1st, 2008, and that's it. We're getting out of 2008, we're getting Bush out of office, and we're locking on to the stellosphere as we rocket towards the future. Rocket balls! Yes, indeed. You are listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit-Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories and check my facts, as well as getting all the postings to all the links that I don't give the people in Second Life. I like to hear them beg. By going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to Sean underscore Kennedy, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, .livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and as well, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Second Life time, which is Pacific, we broadcast from the Archer's Node, grid 15574666. Yes, that's right. It's the extended number of the beast. And it actually, if you look at it, it actually spells IST for 666, which is like IST for the beast, which is German for IST for beast. And if you actually go back, there's a tie-in. Leave this with me long enough. I'll get IST for beast. Me and Baldy. Baldy's like, no, you're revealing my secrets. Yes, it's true. Anyway, let's get into some feedback. I already got some feedback. People giving me lots of shit this year. It gets me hot, you know. It gets me hot when I get people who get pissed off at me sometimes as well, you know. So let me see what we got going on here. Dear Sean, I was hoping you'd take some time to read over these articles on food dyes and behavior issues in children. Dun, dun, dun. Well, I agree with you. Food dyes are very dangerous, and so are most children. I'm a concerned mother of four girls, three of which have severe problems when they ingest artificial food dyes. Maybe you shouldn't feed them so much. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not making fun. Honest to God. I'm a concerned mother of four girls, three of which have severe problems when they ingest artificial food dyes. That's not cool. And I'm currently trying to raise awareness on this issue and hope to eliminate them from our food supply. Well, that's, you know, okay, I'll finish your letter, bud. Given the huge rise in ADD and ADHD, autism, etc., and the huge profits made by drug companies, it's not difficult to understand why this is not being... Wow, something happened to your letter here in my format. I don't really know what happened here. You're all garbled. Your message is broken and unreadable. In Britain, they are demanding that manufacturers take these toxic dyes out of companies. Kraft McDonald's are responding by eliminating these ingredients. In a more conspiracy theory vein, if you have children who can't behave at school or even think a rational thought, it dooms the current educational system to failure, producing a generation of low-wage, cannon fodder wage slaves who work and spend all their money to keep themselves alive from genetic diseases caught from the very foods they eat. Plus, it keeps parents too busy looking for answers to how to help their children function if that they are too busy to fight the system. And we got a couple links here. One is cspinet.org /food dyes. So it's a, you know, and that was sent in by my buddy Kerry. Okay, well, you know, the funny thing is that you know, there is a time to fight the system. And there's a time to hunker down in the foxhole. And if you got kids, I wouldn't be, like, it's good to spread the word, for sure. And people should be very aware of what they eat. I mean, just about everything that goes on with your life, you could cure with your diet. And if you don't believe me, I mean, just think about it. I mean, there's lots of fat bastards listening to this show. Come on, you know what, if you're a fat bastard, right? So, fuck exercise. Who wants to do that? What if you just cleaned up your diet? Okay, what if you just drank water? You know? Seriously. What if you just drank water? Never mind the pop, just got off that, just started drinking water. If you want to be hardcore crazy wog-like, you squeeze one lemon into a tall glass of water. Like, go get yourself, like, an extra large coffee cup and, like, fill it up full of, like, lemon juice. Drink that. Oh, like, one lemon, rest water, drink it. It'll cut the fat off of you. Cut the fat right off of you. So it's a good idea. You know, it's a good idea to probably think about that, to try to get yourself into shape. But anyway, realistically, everything should be concerned about, you know, everything that is wrong with you, you can usually fix by things like diet, unless you've got severe software problems, such as myself, in which case there is no help for you. But seriously, you can solve a lot of things with your diet, and I think people should pay a lot of attention to that. And food dyes is just one of a large myriad of things that go on with why you should be concerned with your diet, like excitotoxins, like aspartame, like any number of issues of what they're like. It just goes on and on. You know, realistically, hormones that they're putting in the food, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that is... That you need to be concerned about your food chain and your what you're putting into your body. You know what I mean? You need to be concerned about what you're putting into your body. Because realistically, hey, this is the only Borg option you got right now. And I don't really want to wind up being Captain Hook before I really need to. I mean, I like the transhumanist stuff. But I don't know, man. I just don't want to be the beta bucket monkey. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be pouring my monkey out of the buckets. You know, I don't want to be the first guy in line. I'd like to see it go a bit further. Yeah, fluoride. Good call, Dex. Yeah, absolutely fluoride. Anyway, let's get on to another piece of email. Dear Sean, I was listening to your November 24th show, and I was greatly disturbed by the comments you made on research into antimatter. I was shocked, to hear you showing an almost Palin-esque lack of knowledge. How can you not understand the important research and the origin of the universe? What it will do is destroy the last bastion of religion. What could be more important than that? Religion is the single greatest threat to humanity, hands down. Understanding the origin of matter might not mean much to you, but I can assure you that it is important. I totally did the... That's how this guy sounds. Actually, I've spoken to this guy a couple of times. That's exactly what he sounds like. Only cooler. You know what I mean? Okay, now don't get me wrong. I knew I was going to catch heat over the particle physics thing, you know? I'm just saying, I haven't seen it do anything cool yet, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all for funding stuff, you know? But I really want it to do something, you know what I mean? And there are a lot of white coat, ivory tower dudes who make their money by, like, writing obscure papers about crap that really isn't important. You know what I mean? Like, if these guys are going to use this quantum physics and they're like, hey, Sean, using this, I beamed water across the room. You know what I mean? We did that. We have to put more research dollars into it. I'm like, yeah, park all spending on the nuke bombers. Let's put lots of dollars into teleportation research. I'm all about that. Thank you for calling. Again, technology to build Mecha and to get us off-world. And if it's a wormhole device to move my mecha doesn't walk. It just wormholes every 5 feet. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay with that. I'll take it. It's a little weird. Could take some getting used to. You know, I might wind up with that whole Nightcrawler teleportation sickness thing. But, you know, there it is. Now, what I do disagree with you with there, since I'm going to go out on a limb, and that's the cool thing about having your own show, is that you can be the biggest prick you want to the people who write you very well-worded letters. And that is that I don't think that the greatest threat facing the world today is religion. I think the greatest threat facing the world today, or actually, the greatest threat to humanity today is humanity itself. Unfortunately, if you remove religion, I mean, that's cool and everything, but you still got humans running the show. And humans are a bunch of fairly violent, very immature, savage monkeys. Don't believe me? Go buy yourself a set of earplugs. Go hang out in a bar for, a couple of Friday nights. And watch how these people perform. I mean, they're essentially yard apes. And people are selfish. I mean, we have higher ideals and stuff like that. But we're pretty much animals. You know what I mean? A lot of our animal instincts. And because of that, there's a lot of chaos that goes on. We have the capability to do some wonderfully beautiful things. And we have the capability to do some not-so-great things, like the most horrible things you can think of. So, and quite often people do. So humans are very, I think that there's no greater threat to humanity than humanity. If you removed religion, they'd find something else. You know what I mean? People want religion. That's how people can believe that crackpot crap like Scientology. I mean, come on. How high do you got to be to believe that? You know, so I don't think religion, even if you come, I mean, come on, religion's out of the bag anyway, right? Everybody kind of knows what's going on with that. Yeah, you know, there's people who like to wander around and like scream at little kids and be like, there is no Santa Claus, you know, you little bastard, how dare you be happy, no Santa for you, you know, that's kind of what a lot of these atheists are like, you know, they totally are, you know, doing that stuff, so I don't know, and there are a lot of things that go on in the universe that we don't understand, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of weird energies and stuff, I mean, everybody who saw a ghost can't be lying. You know? So, I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm not down, getting back to your letter, more importantly, I'm not down on the whole, you know, particle physics thing. Okay? I'm not against that. I'm all about science, okay? I just want to see it be practical and show me some tangible results that, you know, I don't have to take your word for it and look at symbols on a page. If you could do something practical with the stuff, cool, rock on. Let's see some, I mean, you can hand me all the vaporware you like, do something with it, you know, if you're doing stuff with it, and you got something functional that's stable and works, awesome, you know, or at least come up with some decent theories and projections for, you know, some sort of tangible metric that we can measure with this stuff, because otherwise, you know, whatever. So let's get into the news, and robot takeover news! Yeah, now robotics, now there's a science. That's thanks to Risen for this one. In the heat of battle, their minds clouded by fear, anger, or vengefulness, even the best-trained soldier can act in ways that violate the Geneva Conventions or battlefield rules of engagement. I see. Now some researchers suggest that robots could do it better. Is anybody here, like, you know, opening sentence, anybody else just kind of got that, oh my god, I'm going to, like, puke kind of feeling going on? Research hypothesis is that intelligent robots can behave more ethically in battlefield than humans currently can. Because that's my concern in battle, is whether or not I'm behaving ethically. Said Ronald C. Arkin, the computer scientist at Georgia Tech, who designed software for battlefield robots under contract with the Army. That's the case I make. Yeah, is that robots can be more ethical than humans. Wow. Robot drones, mine detectors, and sensing devices are already common on the battlefield but are controlled by humans. Many of the drones in Iraq and Afghanistan are operated from command posts in Nevada. Dr. Arkin is talking about true robots operating autonomously on their own. He and others say the technology to make lethal autonomous robots is inexpensive and proliferating, and the advent of these robots on the battlefield is only a matter of time. That means, they say, it is time for people to start talking about whether this technology is something they want to embrace. Well, of course they're going to embrace it, because humans are a bunch of angry monkeys, right? They're going to do it, because it's going to be cheap, and you don't have to put your soldiers in harm's way, and after they get used to that technology, they're going to arm these guys with tasers and sic them loose on the protesters, those wacky, wacky protesters, at these various government conventions, so that the, you know, the hunter-killer stunners can, you know, lay down all these protesting psychos, those crazy protesting psychos. And they'll be compared with the radicals in India and so on and so forth. You know, it's all, once you get used to the spin, you know. He and others say the technology to make lethal autonomous robots is inexpensive and proliferating. Huh. Well, that would just make it science, right? The important thing is not to be blind to it, Dr. Arkin said. Noel Sharkey, a computer scientist at the University of Sheffield in Britain, wrote last year in the Journal of Innovative Technology for Computer Professionals that this is not a Terminator-style science fiction, but grim reality. Yes, it is. It is very much. He said that South Korea and Israel were among countries already deploying armed robot border guards. In an interview, he said there was a headlong rush to develop battlefield robots to make their own decisions about when to attack. We don't want to get to the point where we should have the discussion where we should... We don't want to get to the point where we should have had this discussion 20 years ago. Huh. That's kind of a really, really weird thing to say, if you don't mind me saying. Anyway, says Colin Allen, professor, philosopher at the Indiana University and co-author of Moral Machines, Teaching Robots Right from Wrong, published this month by Oxford University Press. Well, I mean, that's your problem right there. You know, now you got somebody trying to put, you know, a scientific quandary on right and wrong. Good luck with that. Randy Zachary, who directs the Information Science Directorate of the Army Research Office, which is financing Dr. Arkin's work, said the Army hoped this basic science would show how human soldiers might use and interact with autonomous systems and how software might be developed to allow autonomous systems to operate within the bounds imposed by the warfighter. It doesn't have a particular product or application in mind, said Dr. Zachary, an electrical engineer. It is basically to answer the question that could stimulate further research or illuminate things we didn't know about before. And Lieutenant Colonel Martin Downey, a spokesman for the Army, noted that whatever emerged from the work is ultimately in the hands of the Commander-in-Chief. And he obviously is answerable to the American people, just like we are. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, it's the same guys, you know. I love how they're trying to frame this up, you know. It's because it's like, well, we respond to the president, you know. And I'm reminded of the... I'm reminded of the lyrics, you know, from Roger Waters' Amused to Death. And, what is it? And the Nazis kill the Jews, and the Jews kill the Arabs, and the Arabs kill the hostages, and that is the news. And isn't any wonder that the monkey's confused? And we are! We're going to deploy these robots, let them out there, and we don't have to worry about the robots taking over and killing all of us. We're going to build the robots that kill all of us! Now, you got to understand that this technology, don't look at the technology and be wowed by, like, oh my god, they're going to build autonomous robots. No, all they're going to do, it's going to be a while before we got anything that can do a backflip, okay? All this is going to be is a kill switch that automatically turns on. It's going to wind up being a sprinkler system, and they're going to talk about whether or not it can be deployed, and there's going to be checks and sanctions to making this crazy, defense field system with turrets and stuff. I mean, there's guys building paintball guns on the internet that are autonomous target seekers. You don't think they're doing that elsewhere? If kids are doing it online, man, people are doing it in laboratories. You can bank on it. You can bank on it. So how long before we see this technology deployed against people, right? And is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? Let's think about this now. You know, sometimes it's like what I was saying about groupthink the other day. You know, some people say that... I'm always accusing people of trying to come up with, or I'm accused often by people by being some sort of mob mentality guy. Well, you either have two sort of models. You either have mob mentality, where nobody's in charge and you're a mob, right? Group consciousness kind of thing, which I would actually think is better because you have distributed computing power. It's like having a multi-core processor. Instead of just my brain, I've got everybody's brain and, you know, that's it. But of course, people are going to say, well, you know, if you do that, Sean, you're always going to wind up with you really running the show, right? Whatever you say is going to happen. But there's always people who disagree with you, and factions go off, and provided everybody communicates, it's not a problem. Versus the crazy Nazi-esque, you know, pyramid structure with the leader guy. You know, I'm not really so down with that. I don't know if that's a really good model, and I'm not really sure that my model will work, but, I mean, come on, I'm doing the show from a virtual cybersphere, we're playing with stuff, and nobody's really got any idea what the future is going to bring, and I don't know, maybe the conventional models aren't going to work, maybe there's something that we don't know around the corner, maybe there's something coming up that we can't see, and we're positioning ourselves in a weird way to be ready for it. I'm hoping, you know, that's the case. And to go with that, we got some Cyberscape news sent to me by Blooddew, which is great. I'm getting some new people sending me news. You know, really glad when I see new names. Gamers, that means everybody's doing their job. Gamers, more used to battling demons, giants, and dragons, may soon be tackling another mortal enemy, the Taxman. This is in Cyberscape news. Slowly but surely, authorities around the world are turning their attention to online games and virtual worlds and the tax-exempt status of the economic activity taking on within them. There are places where people can make virtual millions selling land, property, weapons, and even people. The tax havens that have their days may be numbered. In October, China's tax authority announced that it would focus on the previously ignored sector of its economy, the trade in virtual goods and currency. Sweden and South Korea have also moved to clarify the tax rules for virtual money, which, to me, is beyond psychotic. Some wish them well, some wish them ill, but many are just pondering how to go about taxing goods and services that are, by their nature, immaterial. The two most obvious moments when taxes could be applied are when virtual goods are sold for real money on places such as eBay, where transactions happen in-game. Many people sell gold items and even characters via online marketplaces for many popular games. Often, a new World of Warcraft player will buy a character from a veteran because they don't want to work their way up the ranks. This transaction involves cold hard cash and is already a taxable in most countries, although the taxes are rarely enforced. China is outlawing such trades, which are a big business because of gold farms, where people generate vast amounts of in-game goodies, usually gold, by endlessly repeating tasks that earn rewards within the game. The majority of the World of Warcraft, 11 million players locating in China, this is big business. 11 million players in China for World of Warcraft. Holy crap. Recent estimates suggested there are about 500,000 gold farm workers in China. It's very hard to stop the market that is trying to happen, said Professor Edward Castronova of Indiana University, who researches the economics and sociology of video games. Well, the virtuous sphere is coming, hey? The virtuous sphere is coming. This is the cyberscape emerges. It's rifling into our consciousness. It is going to become another parallel universe. It'll be the world's first man-made parallel universe. And it's already here! It's already here. It's just slipping behind the radar of all of these forces that are trying to control the world. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? So, how do we use this to our potential? You know, I don't think they're going to be able to tax the crap out of it. You know, I really don't think they are. There's a lot of theories coming on about the cyberscape. I just recently, a guy told me about a show, Shiro Matsumune, who I'm saying his name wrong, but he did a show called Real Diver, or Real Drive. And I've been meaning to do something, and I'm going to ask for a little bit of help on this. The guy who I do the show with here in Second Life, his name is Ball Traveler Shan. And he cannot get a hold of any of the Ghost in the Shell stuff, which I'm like, you know, I can't give it to him because I'm too closely monitored. So if anybody wants to swing by, you know, sometime and help a brother out, the guy needs to get his hands on some Ghost in the Shell material. Nothing crappy, only good reses, please. It'd be nice. But he's pretty easy to find. He's always here. You know, I'm sure that somebody can at least get him an FTP. And I can't distribute because that would be illegal. You see, that's illegal. I can't do that. But I'm just saying, Ghost in the Shell, first gig, second gig, any of the movies, you know, that stuff. People, you know, what I'd love to, the guy, and the reason why, I should talk about why Ghost in the Shell specifically. Because there's a lot of really great anime out there. Whenever I talk about anime, people, you know, I get a billion trillion letters from people saying, oh, Sean, this is great. Oh, this is great. This is great. You know. That's not reason why I like Ghost in the Shell so much is because of the world and the interaction in that world. Like, there's not a lot of templates that exist for a virtual reality, augmented reality crossover. There's not a lot of shows that give you that. I mean, you can count on one hand the Western movies. I mean, there's some stuff coming out now, but originally, like, when you watch the original Terminator, where you got the guy running and he's got, like, you know, the screen giving him readout information. That's the kind of virtual overlay stuff that I want to see happen with Second Life. I want to see another world made over top of this and we turn into an augmented reality session. That's what I want. And it'd be pretty easy to do. I mean, they've already done it with Quake, right? So why not? It'd be pretty slick to do. And anybody out there, you know, honest to God, if you have not taken the time to watch the Ghost in the Shell movies and everything in the video. Like, the first season is the first standalone complex is some of the best animation I've ever seen, some of the best storyline I've ever seen. It's fantastic. I mean, it's just top-notch. And my scale of 1 to 10 for anime, that would be the 10. It is the snow crash of cyberpunk anime, as far as I'm concerned, that I have seen so far. It's really, really fantastic. I put it on par with Star Wars. How about that? If that gives you some kind of scope as to magnificence of the film. But, yeah. So there it is. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, that would be very, very cool. Because it's a very telling tale of the future. It's very, very telling. And maybe that's where we're going. Before we look back, we had the cyberpunk books. You know, Steve Jackson game put out. And that's what we were going on. You know, everybody was reading Gibson and thinking it was cool. But now, well, now it's all coming out of Asia, and the brilliant minds over there are coming up with some great stuff.
And it's up to us to make sure that at least we are all on the same page. So I would encourage everyone, not just Baldy, if you've got access to material like that, you know, hey, share it with a brother. Anyway, in solar news, thanks to Grundle Boy for this one. New ways of squeezing out greater efficiency from solar photovoltaic cells are emerging from computer simulations in lab tests conducted by a team of physicists and engineers at MIT. Using computer modeling and a variety of advanced chip manufacturing techniques, they have applied an anti-reflection coating to the front and a novel combination of multi-layer reflective coatings in a tightly spaced array of lines called diffraction grating to the back to the backs of ultra-thin silicone films to boost the cell's output by as much as 50%. Now, you got to understand why, like, what do you think is going to be powering the robots, right? What do you think is going to be powering the UAVs and the Predator drones and the dragons, you know, flying overhead? If we can get an extra 50% out of that, it's pretty feasible that these things are all going to wind up being solar-powered. It really is. I think it's this kind of technology, although it's cool, have you seen what's coming on right now with solar? Solar's really, really picking it up, and I think it's exciting. Because as that energy gets going on, man, I think it'll be pretty cool. Very, very cool, in fact. But there's other stuff that's not so cool. See, like, you know, like nukes. Nukes are really not so cool. And they got this thing going on right now in Mumbai, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, there's a bunch of, guys running around, shot 100 people and stuff like that. And it's bad, don't get me wrong. It's tragic over there. Okay? But it says, did you know about the radioactive facility in Africa that got broken into? Anybody talking about that? Well, you see, a brazen attack by four gunmen in the Palindaba nuclear factory has left a senior emergency official seriously injured. Anton Gerber, NECA Emergency Services Operational Officer, spoke to Pretoria News from his hospital bed hours after the attack. He was shot in the chest when gunmen stormed the facility's emergency response control room in the early hours of Thursday morning. The shooting comes 4 months after NECSA's newly appointed services general manager Eric Larada, 43, was gunned down in front of his Montana home after returning from a business trip from France. Palindaba is regarded as one of the country's most secure national key points. It is surrounded by electric fencing, has 24-hour CCTV surveillance, security guards, and security controls and checkpoints. The attack comes as the country prepares to preside over an International Atomic Energy Agency convention on nuclear safety. The convention is aimed at achieving a high level of global nuclear safety via safety-related technical cooperation, established and maintaining effective defenses in nuclear installations against potential radiological hazards, and preventing accidents with radiological consequences. A visibly shaken Gerber, who was rushed to Eugene Marias Hospital on Thursday, said that he was sitting in the control room with his fiancée, Rhea Meering, when he heard a loud bang. Wait a second, what's your fiancé doing in this hyper-secure nuke facility? Anyway, Meering, who is working the night shift, is the supervisor of the control room. Well, you and the fiancé hanging out in there, huh? I guess you guys are just talking? Gerber said that he kept Meering company. I do not like it when she is at work at night, and I go with her to keep her company and ensure that she is safe. Okay. Describing the attack, well, apparently, I mean, that's required. Gerber said they were inside the electronically sealed control room when they heard a loud bang. Then they spotted gunmen coming into the facility's eastern block. It is believed that the attackers gained access to the building by using the ladder from Palindaba's fire brigade and scaling the wall. These men are thought to have forced open a window by pulling out several louvers. Pushing Meering underneath a desk, Gerber attacked these gunmen as they forced their way into the control room and then ran straight for the control panel. I didn't know what they were going to do. I just kept on hitting them, even when one of them attacked me with a screwdriver. I knew that if I stopped, they would attack Rhea and do something to the panel. I could not let anything like that happen. Unbeknownst to Gerber, one of the robbers had shot him in the chest as he fought them off. The bullet narrowly missed his heart, breaking a rib before puncturing his lung. Doctors say the bullet missed his spine by 2 centimeters. Gerber, who was at one stage thought it was going to die, said he'd been very scared. Well, dude, you know, you got shot in the chest, and you still fought off 2 guys after being unarmed. That's pretty hot. This facility is meant to be safe. There are security guards, electric fences, and security control points. These things are not meant to happen, he said. Well, this is the point when the guys inside start getting armed. Okay, everybody starts wearing the drop leg starting now. Dear Heckler & Co., could I please have some, you know, Mark 23s sent down here? Now, the thing is that you're talking about a nuclear facility that got penetrated by a piracy group. Okay? I don't suppose groups like Al-Qaeda or terror cells or whatever would be interested in the materials that's available in there, would they? You know what I mean? My God, could you imagine if some of these crazies in Africa got a hold of a nuke? Holy crap! Never mind Al-Qaeda. Dude! I mean, what if, like, Shining Path got a hold of this stuff? You know, there's a lot of crazy, crazy crap that can happen when you start introducing nukes to this. But the other point of this is, I bet you didn't know anything about it. I bet you didn't hear a single thing about this thing being penetrated, right? Interesting. Interesting, considering how dangerous it could be. That's the other reason why when, you know, things like this Mumbai thing happen, I always like paying attention to what else is going on in the world. Like, what are they trying to use this as a smokescreen for? Or what opportunistic bugger is trying to, you know, make off with the goods while everybody else isn't looking? You know what I'm saying? And, like, here's another good one, Steer. In Plague Watch news, I'm always really especially, you know, happy to read about new plagues that get developed. Bacteria that can cause serious heart diseases... bacteria that can cause serious heart disease in humans are being spread by rat fleas, sparking concern that the infections become a bigger problem in humans. Did you know about this? I didn't know about this. Research published in the December issue of the Journal of Medical Microbiology suggests that brown rats, the biggest and most common rats in Europe, may now be carrying the bacteria. Since the early 1990s, more than 20 species of Bartonella bacteria have been discovered. They are considered to be emerging zoonotic pathogens because they could cause serious illness in humans worldwide, from heart disease to infection of the spleen and nervous system. Ouch. It's the Reaper virus. The new species, called Bartonella roschelami, was recently discovered in a patient with an enlarged spleen who traveled to South America, said Professor Chao-Chin Chang. That's his name, Chao-Chin Chang? Dude. From the National Chung Sing University in Taiwan. This event raised concerns that could be a newly emerged zoonotic pathogen. Therefore, we decided to investigate further and to understand if rodents living close to the human environment could carry this bacteria. Science have found that the rodents carry several pathogenic species of Bartonella, such as B. elizabethia, which can cause endocarditis, and B. Grahami, which is found to cause neurontitis. I love the Latin ones, eh? Neuroretinitis. Sound it out, Sean. In humans. And although scientists are unsure about the main route of the transmission, these infections are most likely spread by fleas, also known as Cephalophilus nophagopoulos nobilis, a flea that lives on a bank. That lives on bank voles and was shown to transmit different species of Bartonella bacteria, blah, 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 blah. All right, so it's interesting to note that we got, like, the Black Plague sort of emerging again here. And we're not hearing a lot about that, you know? You gotta wonder, could they keep us distracted during a scenario like 28 days later? You know, seriously. Could they keep us distracted long enough that, like, people started to die all over the place and they were like, oh, crap. Sometimes I like to wonder about that. But these plague things, man, be advised on that. Do some research. And this is why, what was lesson one, page one of the patrolling series? That's right, the importance of cleanliness. Keep everything clean. Very, very important. Very important. In brain scan news, not... You know, not to really bum you out with some of these news stories, you know. Using neural activity recorded from a sheet of electrodes laid directly on the surface of a patient's brain, scientists can predict movements of the fingers as well as which of several sounds a patient is imagining. So, scientists can predict the movement of fingers as well of which of several sounds the patient is imagining. So that is mind reading by anybody's measure. Okay? Eventually, researchers hope to use the findings to develop intuitive neural prosthesis, such as robotic hands that moves with fingers with little mental effort as it takes to move real ones, or a computer interface set to text imagined words. Ha ha! Pretty cool. To realize this vision, scientists are developing smaller, more flexible technology, which could more easily be implanted and make better contact with the brain. Details of the latest brain-computer interface technology were presented this week at the Society for Neuroscience Conference in Washington, D.C. It could create the basis for a brain-computer interface that is very intuitive and recording platform that is very robust, says Gerwin Schalk, a researcher at the Wadsworth Center in Albany, New York, who led one of the projects. Schalk and his colleagues studied epilepsy patients undergoing a procedure known as electrocortinography, ECOG, in which a flat array of electrodes laid over an exposed section of the cortex to record electrical activity. A flat array of electrodes laid over an exposed section of the cortex. So you cut open the head. Normally, surgeons in this use this information to pinpoint the sources of seizures and to map the locations of specific brain functions, which must be avoided during surgery. The technique generates a better spatial resolution than electrosensitography, a non-invasive approach that records activity through the scalp. ECOG is now being explored for use in brain-computer interfaces. Check out my new sheet, man. I just got wrapped the other day. This one's way denser. We're talking like 17 billion per. It's so sweet. I don't have to think about stuff anymore. It's like my house moves around me. There's a growing interest in ECOG signals because nothing penetrates into the brain, and that appeals to people a lot more than penetrating electrodes. Yes, it's true. Please don't put wires in my head. Said Mark Schieber, a physician and scientist at the University of Rochester Medical School, who is involved in the research. Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I just don't want to have the wires in my head. I don't really want you to cut my head. Can we get the one that I don't cut my head? I'll just wear the helmet. You know, I'll do the Iron Man thing. You don't have to, like, cut into my head. Schalk and his collaborators recorded electrical activity from the motor cortex and the Broca area, part of the brain involved in speech, in five patients as they moved their hands and fingers in specific ways and vocalized or imagined specific sounds. So they stick a microphone in there and they saw what was happening and then they recognized the pattern. The researchers then used specifically developed algorithms to search the neural activity for patterns relating to certain movement and sound. We can tell you how they are flexing each of their fingers, he says. What's more, the research could determine in real time which of two sounds a patient was imagining. Dun, dun, dun! Sweet! Think about what this could mean to the sex bot industry. I mean, you could buy yourself a real doll in 20 years that really does know what you want. Well, I'm just saying. The researchers are crazy. I mean, this is pretty exciting tech, man. I mean, we're talking about stuff here that you can make the $65 billion man with. I mean, this is pretty cool. By anybody's measure. You know, I think it'd be awesome, you know, to have the promise of server, you know. And occasionally I make the joke because you take all these promises that different religious groups have made over the years, and the lame shall walk and the blind shall see. Well, they just installed a chip the other day in a dude. Now a guy who couldn't speak can speak because somebody put science and technology, put a chip into his head, and now he has been healed. Not by one man, but by humanity and by the expression of will that is technology. Technology is merely the expression of will. That is it. It's very, very slick, and it's a beautiful thing. It's probably one of the most beautiful things that humans have. Really, it's the only thing that separates us from the animals, is our technology. That's it. If we didn't have the technology, man, we'd still be afraid of, like, bears and, you know, monsters and everything else. And, once again, I will have to admit that we'd have to rely on, like, the scary things like religion to keep us out, you know, from killing each other. Which, you know, that's a big argument. I don't want to get into the whole religion thing. Everybody knows that Sumerian, if you don't know this, Sumerian's like a rabid, like, Dawkins atheist. Okay? Like, he's a hardcore atheist. Me? Not so much. You know, I like to think of myself as a Zappum, like a Zen agnostic, pagan, what was the other two? Zen agnostic, pagan, something militarist. But, yeah, because there's a lot of, there's, you know, and a little bit, I like a lot of the, I mean, I was raised in sort of a Christian culture, so I like Christmas. You know, I mean, what's wrong with Christmas? Come on. What's wrong with Christmas? Really? Fat guy, sleigh, you know, got the tree there, Charles Dickens, Scrooge, you know. I mean, that's a better Christmas story as far as I'm concerned. Seriously, you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. Why not? You know, sure, call it what you want. You want to call it a solstice, you want to call it a holiday. I like Christmas. I like the word Christmas because if you don't have Christmas, you can't wish people a Merry Christmas. You know what I mean? Merry Christmas. So, eh. I'm just saying, you know, I think that some stuff with religion is really, really bad, but some of it, you know, did really keep us from killing each other for a while there, no matter what the religion is. I mean, every culture, primitive culture, has got religion of some kind. So that should tell you something. I wonder if people need it in some way, and if we can turn that sort of religious fervor towards a quest for science. I mean, you know, that'd be really cool. But I'm getting back on target here. I think it's awesome that we got machines that are going to be starting to make people who are mute speak, make the blind see, and apparently make the lame walk. Very, very cool. In alien news. Yeah, you know I'm reporting on this. Simply because, you know, talk about cognitive dissonance, okay? Imagine this. Imagine this now. All right? A police helicopter had a close encounter with an alien kind in the skies over Birmingham, it has been revealed. A near miss between a West Midlands police chopper and a UFO happened at about 1,500 feet above West Bromwich in May. The police aircraft was carrying out surveillance over the area when the attention was suddenly switched from the ground to the sky. Beside it, a small aircraft beaming out continuous blue-green lights came within 300 feet, forcing the pilot to swerve out of its path and appeared to circle the helicopter before flying off. Initially, the pilot and two police observers dismissed the near miss as in close encounter with a model plane. But despite searching the area with thermal cameras, the pilot was unable to find any signs of a radio-controlled activity. Details of the incident, which happened about 9:50 p.m. on May 2nd, were revealed in a document compiled by experts from the Aeroprox board. The report describes a strange other aircraft as a small and probably non-metallic, and its intent is possibly as sinister. Nick Pope, who worked for the Ministry of Defense's UFO desk and is nicknamed the British Fox Mulder after the science fiction character X-Files, said a helicopter was nearly blown out of the sky. This is a disturbing incident which needs to be thoroughly investigated. So, you know, you get a UFO, buzzes a chopper over a city, you know, and everyone's like, meh, you know, who cares? That bothers me. You know, that bothers me a little bit much. You get, you know, some crazy spacecraft flies around you, and sometimes you wonder if there isn't, like, some kind of mind control way that makes you go, no. You know, did you hear about that thing that happened a while back? There was this, somebody who's going to post this for me. This is how you have shared consciousness working in a broadcast. There was an event that occurred, I think it was in Detroit, where this, it was back in the 40s, where this massive alien mothership, we're talking like this huge V mothership, flew over the city, and they shelled it. Like, aircraft, they expended like hundreds of thousands of dollars, well, not hundreds of thousands, but it would have been thousands of dollars worth of ammo shooting at this thing in the sky. All kinds of spotlights on it. Like, huge. Happened. Real thing. You know, and now people are like, well, I don't know if I believe in UFOs. You know, I don't know if I buy that. Well, you know, they apparently shot at one, you know, and, oh no, they hit it. They were hitting it. They were smacking it. But, I mean, you got to understand that, hey, They were dealing with alien technology here. So look it up. Look it up. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was called, there was an incident. Somebody post that in the forum here, will you? I want to put that on the show before the end of it here. But anyway, let's get into some cyberpunk kit. Because, you know, hey, why not? You remember the phone guns? That was out for a while. They had the phone guns. On the air. It was back in the 40s. It was during the war because people were worried about. They thought it might have been a German attack. But anyway, remember the phone gun? It was out a couple of years ago, and they were like, ah, somebody probably made one, and they took pictures of it. Well, apparently, a 28-year-old man was arrested by Italian police in a Naples suburb. He was caught with a gun disguised as a phone. The phone gun, complete with a dummy display, holds four 22 caliber bullets. The phone transformed into a gun by sliding the keypad section into a stubby antenna is the barrel, and a touch on a particular keys fires the bullet. A gun disguised as a mobile phone. The cool gun. The police spokesman said the first time such a weapon has been seized and shows the sophistication that the crime syndicates are turning to. Wow. You know, kind of interesting stuff. Kind of interesting stuff. Somebody posted the Battle of Los A. Or Los... I can't read it. But Battle of Los Angeles. I don't think that's the one, dude. It was an event that was called something. I don't think... Maybe it was Los Angeles. I'm not too sure. Anyway. Guided bullets. How about this one? You ever see Runaway? Old 80s movie. Very, very cool. Check this one out. What if a sniper could fire a bullet that changes course in mid-flight to hit its target? The Pentagon is handing out nearly $22 million to try to find out. DARPA, those good people, the Defense Department's far-out research arm, has announced a pair of contracts yesterday to start designing a Super 50 caliber sniper rifle that fires guided bullets. Lockheed Martin received $12.3 million for the Exacto Extreme Accuracy Task Ordnance project, while Teledyne Scientific and Imaging got another $9.5 million. If the system works, it will provide a dramatic new capability to the U.S. military, DARPA says. The use of an actively controlled bullet will make it possible to counter environmental effects such as crosswinds and air density and prosecute both stationary and moving targets while enhancing shooter covertness. And to prosecute both stationary and music targets while enhancing shooting, you know, I love that, you know, prosecute them. This capability would have a further benefit of providing increased accuracy and range while reducing training requirements. In other words, Sharon wrote last year, it would be the ultimate sniper round. DARPA won't say publicly how far along or how accurate they want the new bullets to be. Probably precision, I would imagine. You know? All that information is classified, but what they will say is Exacto should contain a next-gen scope, a guidance system that provides information to the direct to the projectile, and an actively controlled 50-caliber projectile that uses this information for real-time directional flight control. And the rifle, and as well, there's going to be a rifle as well. The technologies of interest may include fin-stabilized projectiles, spin-stabilized projectiles, internal or external aero-actuation control methods, projectile guidance technologies, tamper-proofing. Yeah, because you might have someone hack your bullet while it's coming towards you. That is some laughing man badass shit. If you can hack incoming rounds, dude, you're a ninja. Small stable power supplies and advanced sighting, optical resolution, and clarity technologies. Exacto is one of several projects DARPA is developing to make snipers more accurate and more deadly. The agency has earmarked $7.5 million for the laser-guided bullet program. DARPA gave Lockheed $2 million for advanced sniper scopes that could boost kill rates by tenfold. They're really killed now. Or, if the system works out as planned, it would actually allow snipers to remain virtually invisible, lost in the heat haze between them and their targets. Our own David Hamlin called the projects the next war's secret weapon. Very, very interesting stuff. So, let's talk about your own secret weapons in your daily hack. Some stick tricks for you. Do you use a pen drive for transferring data across different systems in your office or network? Duh. Then there is a high possibility of virus infections from transferring across the pen drive as a medium. Here are a collection of freeware tools that could be your first line of defenses before using your pen drive on other systems. USB Write Protector, a freeware application that prevents write access to the USB drives. Dr. Web Curate, in case the file you want to copy into the USB pen drive is infected with a virus, you can try to cure slash clean the file using the Dr. Web Curate. And USB Firewall. USB Firewall automatically detects malicious autorun infile when an infected USB device is infected. You can also see what command is written in the autorun file. Very interesting stuff. So it's a kind of a bit of a forensics tool there. Good to have. Very, very handy. And some Recomedia today, a video about how 1 in 3 homeless people are war vets. Which, you know, not like I've called that before on the show. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. 49% of the homeless veterans were Vietnam vets, and if you thought that was bad, wait for it. Wait until the guys start coming home from Iraq. The desert wars are going to be very, very cruel to America, I'm afraid. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute it. The first rule of Newsreel is talk about Newsreel. Get it out there to people. Please, please, please. Hand it out to people you don't like. Give it to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Say, I've got some good news for you. Dude, I got good news for you, man! I got so much good news for you, your head's gonna fly off. But if you can donate, please, please, you can go to my website, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. You can click on a little donate tab right there. And rather than donate, what I'd like you to do is subscribe, please. Rather than give me $20, why don't we just go for $5 a month? If you get if you don't like the show, don't subscribe. And if you haven't listened to, you know, if you haven't got like, 50 hours worth of entertainment out of me yet, don't give me any money. Because you may not like it, right? Yeah, honestly, seriously, if this is your first time checking the show out, don't go subscribing. You don't know, I could be a jerk. I've got over 1,000 hours of media online, man. You can have it all for free. If you like it, subscribe. And that way I can carry on doing these crazy things, trying to build mecha, two-headed, you know, kittens and genetically engineered super awesome. You know what? I shouldn't be trying to sell you guys mecha. You know what I should be saying? Maybe I should bin the mecha plan. You know, what you guys want, like, honestly, now, if I'm going to get all emperor about this stuff, because occasionally I think about this, you know, I imagine myself cybernetically, you know, enhanced, hanging over this crowd, thronging masses, Motley Crue style, you know, and they're all like, you know, that'd be great. So I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, if I'm going to throw some piece of technology to the crowd, you know, to have them just completely go crazy, you know, what would I give the crowd? What would be my gift unto the crowd? You know, mecha is a pretty solid gift, really, you know, to bring unto the people. You know, mecha is pretty good. A lot of fun with that. I think maybe that if I could come up with some replicants, I think that might be a little bit better. Yes. Yes, I'm sure that if I could come up with, what would you call them? I guess you'd call them sex bots? Yeah, sure, let's go with sex bots. Sex bots and mecha. It's going to be a 2-for-1 sale to celebrate the new subscription procedures here on Rant. So, or you can send me, you know, a giant case of, you know, turnips. And you can send it to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12215C, 56 Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And realistically, if you're not subscribing to the show, you should save your money. That's a really good idea. Start making sure you hold on to some cash. Cash is getting kind of scarce lately, so you might want to subscribe to that. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, please check out some psytrance. And I'm going to fade out now with another wicked track from my own personal stash. Remember, everyone, we'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Either you're with those who love freedom, or you're with those who hate innocent life.
All inferior creatures are to be considered the enemy of the Daleks at this point.
Well, either you're with us, or you're with the enemy.
We all make no one. We are the superior beings.